Special thanks to this episode's sponsor, Perry Inspections, LLC, your trusted partner in home and property inspections. Whether you're buying or selling, Perry Inspections offers professional services for homes, townhouses, condos, new builds, commercial spaces, and more. More than a service, they're an advocate for you. Learn more at perryinspectionsmm.com.
Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today's guest is Tanya Pruitt, wife to Chad, mom to Maddie, Mallory, and Mary, and proud new grandma to Hosanna. She's the founder of Unite Us, a movement that's bringing a spiritual awakening to college campuses across the country. You're about to hear the heart behind it all. Stay tuned. Well, hello, Tanya, and welcome to Table Talks. I am so honored to have you here today with me on this podcast.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. I thank you for asking me.
It's such a small world. My son, Dustin, pastors here in Albuquerque, the church that we pastor for years, and when they were at an event in Southern California, and they met you and your husband at the event, and she was just saying, you'll never guess who I met, and, you know, the person behind the Unite, all the revivals. And I just got so intrigued. And I thought, what if she'd want to come in and talk about that? It's interesting because the average age of viewers for this podcast is mid-20s to mid-30s. So this is a wow. Lot of people that this will, I'm sure, really resonate with. So I'm excited that you're on here. And I love following what God is doing through, you know, Unite Us and the history. So we'll take it back to the beginning. I know you've shared this story a lot of times, but, you know, it's new to people all the time. You know, there's new specifics and details that people don't know. And what an amazing God thing you've done. I can't wait to hear more of the story behind it. You're such a strong voice and a leader in this space. And I know that you know, listening to your story, that's not how you planned it to be. You're just listening to God's voice and following him. So what was life like before Unite? What were you doing then?
I can't say it was calmer because our lives have never been super calm. Being in the basketball world and my husband being a basketball coach keeps us pretty busy. But I was in education for 21 years. My husband was coaching. I was teaching. And we were always leading something, whether it was dramas in the church or youth programs or just extended ministries and everything that we've done, we've always done that. So our lives have always been a little chaotic and always busy, but always so blessed by the things that God has done in our lives and in our family.
That's, you know, the sports world, having a husband that's a coach, I can imagine that's pretty all consuming because it's year round. It's not just a basketball season. It seems like it never ends. And you guys have done that for a very long time. And I believe I read that you were a teacher, you know, for a lot of years. I taught kindergarten for a year and a half and then I retired. I don't know. I did not last long in that world. And I feel like I'm a teacher all the time now, but it just looks different. So what's your family's journey been in, you know, ministry? So we talked about sports, but I'm sure your girls, you have three beautiful daughters, and I'm sure their life has been consumed also by the basketball world and living in Auburn, and what a such a strong legacy of athletics. That's, I'm sure your whole family was consumed.
Yes, we were. I tell people all the time, we spend a majority of our family time before my girls left the house in church and in a basketball gym. A basketball arena. That's just where, if you were looking for the Pruitts, you're going to find us in church or in a basketball gym.
What a great, that just sounds amazing to me. I mean, we love church and I love sports, so that just works out. I mean, I'm sure you've enjoyed that season of your life so much. And okay, so as I gather, and I've you know, listened to several podcasts that you've been on, and I saw, you know, when you were on Fox News before, and just researching, because what you've done is so absolutely phenomenal. And what I love is that it started, you know, because you've always loved to pour into the, you know, this next generation, you know, Gen Z, you've loved pouring into them, and you started with a small Bible study. I love when you say that when God spoke, I mean, you couldn't get it off your mind that you needed to do more. So you started with a small Bible study with just a few young ladies, and this thing has grown over the last year and a half. It hasn't even been that long, right? So what did that look like? Give us the spark behind Unite.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story in the beginning. I'm leading a college girls small group with one of my friends, and we go in one night ready to just dive into our small group book. And all of a sudden, I just kind of stand up and I look at the girls and I said, "Something big is coming and you're going to be part of it." And then I sit back down, didn't know what I was saying. And my co-leader kind of pats me on the leg and she said, "Hey, Tanya, what's coming?" I said, "I have no idea, but I'm sensing something is coming." And then we just dive into the curriculum. Nobody thinks anything of it. And a year later, all this stuff takes off. But yes, I was mentoring these students outside of leading this small group. So you lead the small group, you're sitting in a room with about 20 girls. They all look beautiful, amazing. Their social media looks amazing. And you're just thinking everything in their life is just perfect. And then I started spending a little bit of one-on-one time with these girls and finding out their lives are not as amazing as they look in their pictures. And sometimes behind the pictures we see on social media is a lot of pain that nobody knows about. And start hearing one story after another of girls who are just battling extreme anxiety, depression, you know, begging God to not let them live another day. They can't cope with life. It's too hard. They're pulling their hair out. They're cutting. And these are things nobody would know if you didn't sit down and just spend time with these girls. But I remember hearing probably story number six. And this girl is telling me just something unimaginable that happened to her, and how it created so much shame and how she didn't want to live. And I just remember standing up from the table that day. Something came over me and I stood up, pushed my chair in, and I said, "No more." Like, I refuse to sit back and watch college students suffer like this. And I can do something about it. And what I can do is pray. And I remember after I left that meeting with that precious daughter, I called five of my small group girls. I said, "Meet me at the coffee shop in 15 minutes. They had no idea. They thought they were in trouble. And I was like, I just sat down with them and I told them what I was feeling in my spirit, what I was feeling in my heart. And I said, "We've got to pray. We've got to pray that God will restore hope to a hopeless generation, a generation that's so full of anxiety and depression, and they don't know the answer, and we have the answer." So we started on a Friday in our football stadium. I had five of my small group girls meet me, and we just gathered to pray, join hands in the middle of that huge stadium, you know, just praying for God to intervene on Auburn's campus specifically.
It's something, I mean, starting so small, because many people have Bible studies with a handful of, you know, young women or young men. Lots of people mentor, but they don't see past that to something so much bigger. So what was the series of events or the moment that you realized there's more than this? We're praying for the campus and you were believing God for revival on the campus that you'd poured so much into your family for so many years. What clicked that said, okay, it's time to do something bigger? Because, I mean, you went from here to thousands and...
Right. Yeah, I will say one thing that I do, and I tell my small group girls and I tell my own daughters, is to pay attention when God repeats himself. Because God will speak to you. When he starts speaking to you in the same way over and over and over, you better pay attention. And the day we walked into the football stadium for the first time, my oldest daughter, Maddie, sent me a text message and she said, "Mom, stop right now and read Exodus 33, 14 and 15. So I stopped, I read it. It was Moses saying to God, "If your presence doesn't go before us, do not send us." And God said, "My presence will go before you." And so that became our theme. That's how we prayed that day. We said, "God, if your presence doesn't go before us," we didn't know exactly what we were praying about, but it became the theme of our prayer. I left that prayer in the stadium that day. My co-leader, my small group co-leader, calls me and she said, "Would you like to go with me to a women's retreat?" I said, "Absolutely, would love to go." I get to the women's retreat. The message was on Moses and Exodus 33. And I'm like, "Okay, God, you've gotten my attention." And wake up the next morning, I'm in my hotel room, I'm getting ready to go back to the retreat, and felt like God was saying, "Don't go back to the retreat. Go back to Auburn, go to church with your husband." So I called my husband. I said, "Hey, I'm coming home, I'm going to church with you, I'm not going to the retreat." I'm driving home from Birmingham to Auburn. It's about 2 hours. And the whole ride home, the enemy is saying to me over and over, "The assignment's too big for you. You're not qualified for what's coming." I didn't know what was coming, but I knew what he was saying over and over in my mind. And I get to church, sit down. The pastor walks out on the stage and he says, "Today's message is on Exodus 33, 14 and 15. The enemy is telling you the assignment's too big and you're not qualified for what's coming. I've come to tell you today that his presence has gone before you and he will do it." It was in that moment I was like, "Okay, God, you really have my attention now." And Kay, what I will tell you is in the next 10 days, that same scripture came to me from different people who had no idea 10 different times. And I was reminded of 2 years back when my oldest daughter came off of a secular television show and COVID hit and the world shut down. And I got COVID at the end of that year, got very sick. And I remember I was so close to death. I just knew I was going to die. And I remember saying in that moment, I had not left my house or got out of bed or eaten in 8 weeks. And I remember saying to God, "If you will have mercy on me and let me live, I'll do anything you ask me to do. No matter how big it is, I will do it." And I was reminded of that after hearing Exodus 33, 14 and 15 over and over. We started meeting weekly on Auburn's campus to pray. It started with 5 students. In 3 weeks, it turned into 200. And 200 students gathering, just praying for revival, praying for God to move on our campus, restore hope to hopeless students. And during probably about 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, I saw a vision and I saw thousands of students gathered and worshiping in our basketball arena. Had no idea what happened, but all I can tell you is I was not myself. So whatever came over me in that moment when I had that vision, it's almost like God's spirit came on me in a way I didn't even recognize myself. The boldness and authority that I started speaking in. I would go meet with every pastor in the city, pastors I had never met with before, administration at Auburn, coaches at Auburn. Hugh Freeze, our new football coach, it was his first day on the job, and I'm sitting in his office telling him about this vision. And obviously he was all in and everybody was supportive. So that's how the initial vision started. And then it just took off from there. And I can tell you more about that.
Did that surprise you how supportive everybody was? Because it's always, you know, it's not always that way. When you have a fresh vision from God, sometimes people shoot it down, but you had, that's key people that you got support of, the head football coach and other people that.
The basketball coach, the president of the university, the head baseball coach,
I'm sure they're thinking, our campuses need something. I mean, it's obvious across the country that every other voice is so loud. Yeah. And the Christian voice has been so quiet, and your voice got bold. And, you know, that's kind of how I have felt about things. What is the worst thing? They say no, or yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. What, you're not going to get in trouble. So that's how I just asked. I've decided I'm going to go for the ask. And I think I'll get a lot of yeses. That's just what I believe God said. So I'm actually, that surprises me. But what do you think, what has surprised you most when you started that? What was the biggest surprise on that first one?
On Unite Auburn, our first event? I'll say two things. Number one, going into it, I had invited Pastor Jonathan Pakluta from Harris Creek Baptist Church, Waco, Texas, Jenny Allen, best-selling author, podcaster, speaker, incredible. And she was my daughter's mentor, so I had connections with her, reached out to her, and then Passion Music out of Atlanta. And they all agreed, they were all coming. And I had this, probably this great fear come over me leading into the night of the event on September 12th, 2023, because I thought, what if nobody comes? Like, I've got these speakers and this band coming. What if nobody shows up? We didn't sell tickets. We did not have registration. We had no way of knowing how many students. And I remember telling Jenny the day before, I said, Jenny, now just be prepared because it could be 100. And, you know, so she came in just expecting anything. She had no expectations as far as numbers go. And I remember walking into the arena that night on September the 12th, and over 5,000 students had gathered. And Jenny walks over to me. She grabs me by the arms, looks me in the eyes, and she says, Tanya, what in the world is happening? And I said, Jenny, I have no idea, but God is doing this. And so that was one of the things I think that caught me most by surprise. And then another thing I would say is, the flow was set up at the end of the night to end in worship. So Passion would close it out with a song. I remember something coming over me in that night, and I walked up to Jenny. I said, Jenny, you've got to get back on stage. God is not done. And she goes back on stage. While she's on stage, a student that was attending the event texted one of our pastors and said, I have to get baptized tonight. And we kind of didn't know what to do with it at first. We had not planned baptisms. And then we told Jenny we were going to the Red Barn that has a lake a half a mile from campus, invite the students. And so she goes up, she says, hey, we're headed over to the Red Barn. We're going to baptize the student at the lake, and we invite you all to come. The arena emptied.
Right.
And all the thousands of students are running. I mean, I have video footage of it. It's the most powerful thing you will ever see. They're sprinting to witness this baptism. And we get to the lake, and it's the neatest thing because there's thousands all around the lake from every side, pickup trucks with their headlights on facing the water so you could see. We had six pastors in the water, and over 200 students ended up getting baptized. We were there past midnight. We didn't plan any of that. And I remember standing out in just the middle of these thousands of students and saying, God, you've exceeded my expectations beyond anything I could have asked for. And you didn't tell me about this beforehand. You know, I could have messed it up. I don't know. But for some reason, he withheld that from me. And it was just such a miraculous thing. I was thinking, this is going to get national news. There's no way this can't get national news. And of course it did. It was one of the most powerful and unbelievable things I've ever experienced in my life. And I've seen a lot of things.
I mean, I'm thinking baptized in the South, in a lake, at the in the dark. Those pastors were brave too. I'm thinking, oh my gosh,
the you're right about that.
The varmints that were in that lake, I'd be all the time say, let's baptize fast people. Let's go. I would have made me nervous. What a cool thing. And when did you like, so that's over and you're just basking in this amazing miracle of God. And did you feel that night, okay, this is something that's going to go to another university? Or did you think, okay, that was it. And that was amazing. Look, God, look what you did. How did you know if there was more?
So going back to the night before Auburn, I had moms and dads gathered at the arena to pray for the event. And as we're praying, I'm standing there, I start praying. And what comes out of my mouth that I didn't plan was Unite Auburn, unite other college campuses, unite the nation, Israel will be linked. That's what came out. I had no idea what it meant. Nobody thought anything of it. We just keep praying. We leave. I went and wrote it down so I would remember what I said that night, not knowing what it meant. Two nights after Unite Auburn, God woke me up at 3 a.m. And this is what he said. He said, form a team, do it quick. This is going to spread fast. And I had no idea exactly what he was saying, but I went ahead and hired three people. No money. I didn't have money. I didn't know how I was going to pay them. We formed a board, a 501c3, and we just stepped out in faith. As soon as I did that, we started getting contacted from universities all over the nation, students saying, my friends are committing suicide. We're desperate. Like, please bring Unite to our campus. We're so desperate for God to meet us here. And I just remember thinking, okay, God, this is what you said. Unite Auburn, unite other college campuses. This is it. And I, with the first school we went to was FSU. I started with five students at FSU, didn't know what I was doing. God gave us a model. He gave me a checklist. He said, this is how it's going to be set up. We're going to keep most of the flow as it was at Auburn, but this is what the student team locally will have to do to pull this off. And we haven't stopped. And now I'm going to jump ahead, but we have been to 17 campuses.
That's what I noticed. I mean, you've got these leadership summits now that you do also that I'm definitely not college age, but I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be in Alabama during the second one. I thought I just would love, we have a huge young adult ministry at our church. It's thriving. It has been for over a decade. And I mean, hundreds and hundreds. And I'm thinking, you know, in a very secular University of New Mexico is just, you know, we live in a very, very ungodly state, or it's just it's an interesting place to be. And not grow, you know, I grew up in the deep South where, you know, it's just a different world is here, but I was looking at all the universities that you've been to. I just can't even imagine when you lay in bed at night and you think, what in the world, God, you said it, but I'm, you know, God said things to me or nudged me for things. And then when it happens so big, I'm like, I guess my faith was smaller than, you know, thankfully God doesn't show us the whole picture at once because you may have run the other way.
Right.
But I'm just, the stories you must have heard along this path, thousands and thousands and thousands of college students, young adults coming to these arenas. And I can imagine the testimonies that are coming from these students. Is there one that particularly just stands out to you that's just like, you hold on to that even like if a time's hard and you go back to that testimony for impact, you know, to keep you going?
Yeah, there's so many I could tell.
Mm.
There's so many. If it's okay, I'll tell you two.
I love that.
For sure. One, we went to the University of Tennessee, which, by the way, we're going back there, and I'll tell you more about that later. University of Tennessee, and I remember a student, a male student, after the event, he was being interviewed by Fox News, and I remember him saying, I have prayed for my sister for as long as I can remember. Tonight at Unite Tennessee, she gave her life to Jesus and got baptized, and I get to spend eternity with my sister. And for some reason, that one, we've had some powerful ones, but that one got my heart. And then another one, our last event for this past semester was Baylor at Unite Baylor. One of the pastors told us about a student who happened to be in the common grounds. He was sitting there studying. He was an atheist. And he's sitting there and he starts seeing all these students walking in the same direction. And he didn't know what was going on. So he gets up from where he's sitting and he just starts following this group of students, not knowing where he's going, but he wanted to see what was going on. Follows them to the basketball arena. It's a free event. So he comes in, sits down. This atheist at the end of the night gives his life to Jesus and gets baptized.
Today's episode is exclusively sponsored by Perry Inspections. If you're buying or selling a home in New Mexico, they're the team you want in your corner. Thorough, trustworthy, and totally for you. Find them at perryinspectionsnm.com. And thank you, Perry Inspections, for supporting this conversation. Hey friends, I'm so glad you're here. If you're enjoying this episode, please take a second to subscribe, leave a quick review, and share it with a friend. It's the best way for people to find the podcast and to be encouraged. Now, back to the conversation. Every worry, every detail, everything that's gone into the event, I know that you would do it for one of those right. testimonies, and you have hundreds and hundreds yeah. of life change testimonies that have come through there. And what an unbelievable story. And our God is so good. And that is what he wants to do. He wants all people to know of him and his love and his mercy and his grace, and wants people to know Christ. And you're hitting that young adult stage. It's the last chance you really get with people before they're, you know, moved out. They, a lot of people at that point don't go to church anymore. They lose out with their relationship with Christ. They turn their back on Christ, or they never knew him. And what a beautiful time. It's like you're throwing out the net. Well, actually, like a life ring, you know, to save them. This is that point. I just see that mental picture of you being on a dock and throwing out that life ring as many times as you can, trying to catch them before they, you know, go out to sea. It's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus does in our life, that he saves lives and we're the conduit, the one he uses. And he birthed that in your heart and your mind. It's just, I'm sure you step back at times and think, you're so humbled. I know you are. I sense it when I see you speak and when I read, humbled at what God's doing. And that's why he continues to bless it at the level he is, because you're a vessel that he can use so readily. It's just beautiful to me. And just getting to know you some, I just sense it so strongly in my spirit that God has so much more. And I know he's spoken that to you. And you've got this family, you've got these daughters that are now basically grown. And one grandchild, I spoke of her in the intro that I recorded earlier, and I love her name, Hosanna. It's beautiful, and I know that God uses your family. I think your family goes with you when they can. And so how is that? How do you stay grounded? You have a very public life. You have had a very public life when you're in the sports world, and especially, I know this, in a state where everybody lives, eats, and breathes their sport and their team, right?
Yep.
You choose.
That's
in
right.
State of Alabama, you choose straight away. You're born choosing your college. And it's such a big deal. And so that's a very public life. And now your ministry is a public life. You mentioned you've got these daughters, and one of your daughters was on, you mentioned, a secular TV show. And when I immediately told some of my team, they're all young, they're all in their 20s.
Yeah.
That you're scheduling you, and they're going, oh my gosh, Maddie Brewitt, you know, the whole Bachelor thing. And it's such a, what a testimony. I watched you on her podcast. And that was beautiful. I love that. So you have got this family and your other daughters who have these full lives of their own, and things are moving so fast, growing so fast, so much public attention. How do you support them, and how do they support you in this calling? What does this look like for your family?
Yeah. Honestly, it's beautiful in every way. And I, you know, it seems to most people it would be such a challenge. It's just been beautiful. And I'll go back to what you were saying. I'm going to answer your question, but I want to go back a little bit to you saying, you know, you're humbled by this, and how do you, I will go on prayer walks sometimes where I'm just shouting, thank you. Thank you, God. I mean, it's all I can say. And my whole prayer walk will just be, thank you, because I'm no one deserving of this. It's not even about me. It's not about my family at all. It's about a God who says, hey, I'll take you when you're at the lowest part of your life, and I'll call you to the greatest thing you ever imagined being able to do. And so I'm just so thankful. As far as my family, it's been such a blessing, because I think it has really drawn everything we've been in, the basketball world. You know, you're saying, like, everybody, it's so open to the world. Everybody gets to see you. And then obviously, Madison going on the show was huge for our spotlight, for our family. And then even with Unite, but we've always been a very close family. We talk about it all the time, how we just don't deserve all the blessings that we have, but we're so thankful. But all of us, to some degree, are in some type of ministry. So we're all working for the Lord, and expanding the kingdom, populating heaven. That's just, you know, making a difference and serving and doing everything we can to make a difference in people's lives and their eternity.
You guys are very involved in your church. I know you mentioned your girls live out of state. Now they're grown up, and very involved in your church. And that's critical too, to have those roots, and you serve and give back. We have three grown sons. I have three daughters-in-laws and 9 grandchildren. And my oldest son took over the church that we pastored for 28 years, 5 years ago. And then our youngest son planted a church in Washington, D.C., not quite 4 years ago. And our middle son's a pharmacist, but he's very involved in our church. So I know that ministry looks different for different families, but sometimes it's everybody's on board with the vocational ministry that we're all, everybody's doing full-time ministry, and other times they're serving their local church, which is all still ministry. And so many people that you minister to on the college campuses, these people aren't all going to be pastors. They're going to go in, like, you're giving all this time for people to get them ready to be in the world so that they can be strong in their faith and secure in their relationship with Christ. It's just again, a beautiful thing. And I see so much of your family supporting this vision of the next generation, and you've done it for years, because obviously with your husband coaching, it's not just about basketball. You're mentoring young men for all these years, almost 2 decades or whatever. You're mentoring young men, not just in the sport of basketball, because that will go away. You're mentoring them. He was mentoring them for life, and is, and you too, the impact you have on people. So this is not something new. You've been doing this for years. It just took on a different package. It's in a different gift bag than it was the first time. I love the, I'm just processing your whole story. Is there ever a time that your family said, Mom, I don't know? I mean, your husband said, okay, that was cool, Tanya, we did this, but now you're wanting to be gone all the time, and you got all these colleges, universities in line. Did they ever do that, or are they always go, 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 go?
They have never done that. As a matter of fact, they're, when can we get to the next one? How fast can we get to the next one? Where are we going next, Mom? Where are we going next? What's next? And we've just, everybody's bought into the vision. Everybody feels very confident that this is the direction our family's supposed to be going. It's a movement, it's an assignment, it's an obedient step of faith that we've all, as a family, stepped into. And we're just seeing God do unbelievable, unprecedented things.
So exciting to see where God might take this and where it's going to end up. I love that I'm getting to talk to you just, not quite 2 years in, and to see where it will be when we, look back to see what else it starts. Because something like this is a fire that's akin, it's the beginning of the fire starter. And I believe that so many other things will come from it too that are so positive. It's just unbelievable. So I know you're a big family person, because you have mentioned to me even before we started recording, and what I've read and what I see, you're very close, and your whole family loves to do ministry together. How do you protect that family time? How do you make sure that you get to be with them? And it's hard when the kids grow up and they have their own families to kind of lasso them back in for some time with everybody. What do you do as a family for fun, or how do you protect family time?
It can be challenging sometimes, obviously, with any family, but for us with the busyness of it. But I tell you, we take advantage of every opportunity. And whether that's in between, we've got games this week, or we're traveling here this week, or we've got Unite events here, we take the whole family to Unite. We take the whole family, we get as much out of it as we can. When we have a weekend off that's not with basketball or Unite, we try to get together as much as we can, and when we can't be, we have a family group text, and we just try to keep up with each other as much as we can through that, celebrate each other and the things that we're doing, and just kind of stay, present as much as we possibly can in that way. I think with some new changes that are coming for our family and my husband's role, that's going to lead to a lot more family and quality time. And so it's all good. But yeah, you have to be super intentional in
You do,
situations
right? That's
and
what
creative.
takes so much intentionality. Being, and I feel like as the mom and your grandmother now too, I feel the responsibility to try to make sure that people are connecting and communicating. And although they do, it's just a big deal. And my grandchildren now range from 4 years old to 21. So they're, I mean, just that whole thing, our world has changed, but it's in the best way. It's just been amazing. We were talking before we started recording about, places. Most everybody knows that I'm from Alabama, and I love the state. I haven't lived there for many years, but I love the Gulf Coast. I'm very particular about beaches, and I'm a beach snob. In the United States of America, I don't feel like there's a prettier beach than the Gulf Coast. It's
You're
so
right.
from Alabama No offense, Texas and all you, but Alabama down all the way down. It's just we're talking about that. So I know your family must have grown up going to the beach, and you love. So does everybody like to do the whole beach scene? Or is everybody like it?
Yes, and as I was telling you before, we're all headed to the beach in a couple of weeks, so we'll do some family time. Our extended family is all around that area, Fairhope, Orange Beach, Gulf Shores. So we will all head to the beach for a week in a couple of weeks, and we're looking so forward to it. It's kind of our getaway, and it's just tradition. You know, like you said, we grew up doing it, and we always look so forward to it.
And I love it. And people that, have known me in ministry for years that follow this podcast, the ones that have been around a long time know that I, that whole area, when you say Gulf Shores and Orange Beach and the beaches, and my oldest son, Dustin and Mandy, they got engaged in Fairhope. He lived here and she lived in Mobile then. And we just have a real strong tie. And it's funny that and God is so good that He would, lets me meet other people that have the same love for a place like I
Wow.
do. I think that's awesome. I mean, it wouldn't have mattered if you didn't like it. I still would have wanted to have you on here. But I love that we had a common commonality where, before we recording, we're talking about restaurants we like to go to in that area. It just feels like family then. I'm like, if someone were to go to Gulf Shores or Orange Beach and not love it, I wouldn't even know what to do. I don't think I could be friends. I'd be like, I don't know what to do with you if you can't love.
All right,
This
we're
is my place. I've got 50
done.
years going there since I was 14, and I'm about to be 64. So I don't even know another world without that in it. So that's just a side note. So you guys can say, oh no, we've heard this story before. She loves the
She
South too.
loves the
I've
beach.
lived in the desert for all these years. So what do you have coming up? What are next steps for Unite? This is like, I'm going to get to one. I decided when I
I hope you do.
will, and I'm going to start the process with whoever I need to start it with to get you here. I'm telling you the warfare we would have to fight to have you in New Mexico because of but you're up for it because I know you through what you've said on podcasts. You're a prayer warrior.
Nothing is impossible. That's right. And you know what my word for the year is? Fight.
Well, there you go. I feel like the reception in a place like the light shines brightest in the darkest places,
Right.
and
That's right.
the light of Christ. We're primed and ready. We're thriving people, born again Christians here. But I'm sure you have a waiting list of universities that want you to come.
We do, but I will tell you this, and this is encouraging to you or anybody else who tries to get Unite or any other revival movement to Albuquerque, is that they will come. They will come. They will show up. There is a hunger and a desperation and a desire for truth and hope, especially in Gen Z, unlike anything I think our nation has ever witnessed. I think COVID was meant to destroy, but what it couldn't. And what it did was created a new hunger because nothing else can satisfy but God. And so everyone tried during those times of isolation, they're turning to their phones, they're turning to all the different things for hope, and they're not finding it. And now they've gotten to a place of, well, there's something else that might fulfill what's missing, that can break this addiction, that can get me free from this thing that I've been just battling for so long to get free from. That's just encouraging you. They will come. We can do it there. We can do it there. It'll amaze you. So I say you come to one of our upcoming events. It's one thing for me to tell you about it. It sounds amazing. It's something else to experience it. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. We went to the University of Kentucky. Probably the first time this has happened. But Pastor JP gives an altar call, and around 2,000 students come forward. And it varies. I mean, every school's different, but about 2,000. Then we leave and go to Ohio State. Same thing, had about 2,000. And then we go to West Virginia, and we had about 1,000 come forward. And it's like, West Virginia didn't even, there were some parts of West Virginia that were just like, we don't want Jesus. You're not welcome here, type thing. We did it anyway. And there was not an empty seat in that arena. And the altar was flooded by students. I think they were coming forward before we even gave the altar call. It's just God's just doing something. It's a greater awakening. And I'm trying to remember what your question even was. Oh, where are we going next?
Yes.
Okay, so I will tell you, we have 7 lined up for the fall. We're already booking to the spring, which is crazy. But I can tell you for the fall, we're starting at Oklahoma. And then after Oklahoma, we will be going to South Florida, University of South Florida in Tampa, and then back to Tennessee. So at Tennessee, we have had students praying 7 days a week at 7 a.m. every day for God to keep moving on their campus, for Unite to come back. It's so beautiful. How could we say no to that? Then we're going to Louisville and then Grand Canyon. Really excited about Grand Canyon.
That'd be great.
So excited. University of Cincinnati. And then NC State is to be determined. There's 2, NC State and Clemson, we're still talking to for a final location for the fall.
How do you know, this is not off topic, but you mentioned OU. Do you know the Starlings? Do you know Chrissy Starling, her husband? They pastor a huge church in Norman. So I'm sure they'll be involved with you somehow, she and her husband. It's a huge church. Victory Family Church, I think, is the name of it, Norman. But I'm saying that on here and recorded, but she's been on the podcast. But they're just unbelievable. If it's just somebody to who your team might reach out to them, they're just, it's thousands and thousands go to their church, and it's got such a thriving young adult ministry. And they're right at the, I spoke at their women's conference, and I stay right on the campus of OU. And they were going to play Tennessee that week, and they had all the orange Tennessee stuff everywhere. Just really funny. Just, you know, it was great. I know you, I've said this at least 5 times on this episode, but you have to stand back and go, wow, God, only you. And there, he is getting so much glory. One thing I was going to say a moment ago, when I've watched you on interviews, the positivity you have for this generation, for Gen Z, and that Gen Alpha is creeping up there, but this generation, when people would say they're not going to church as much, they don't want God. And I've seen you on the interviews, you're going, no, they're seeking God. They want this. They want that stability. They want to plant their feet and know that God is God, and there's hope and hope for their life. I just sense that so much. Every time I've seen you speak, it's pretty crazy, believable how positive you are in a world that goes, I don't know, about this group.
It, once you see it, you think differently.
That's just beautiful.
We're seeing it.
That's exciting. You've got exciting times ahead. So you've got a website. Unite Us has a website, because that's how I first started, speaking to your team. Is that the same way a university would go about? How would somebody that hears this and has a passion for where they go to college, what's their first step?
It would be that the website, uniteusmovement.com, would be one way. And then through social media, Unite Us on social media, Unite_us on Instagram. We get a lot of DMs, and sometimes we'll get these DMs from students, and you can just tell how excited and passionate and fired up and how desperately they want this at their campus. It comes through in their messaging. And then on our website, obviously, we have form submissions where students will just in paragraphs tell us exactly why their university needs it, why we should go there next. And, a lot of the decisions that we make to go to these universities start with those 2 things. They've either DM'd us and gotten our attention, or they've reached out through a form submission, and then on our website. And then obviously every once in a while, someone will share my contact or somebody from the team's contact. They'll reach out personally. But yeah, that's the best way to get us. And then if you've got a handful of students at any university that are passionately wanting this, I mean, we're not going to say no if we can fit it in.
That's just unbelievable. How can churches come alongside you? So they're, people, organizations, churches, what is the best way they can support Unite?
Yeah. One of the biggest things that we do through Unite is the student teams help us with connecting with all the local ministries. So say we're going to Oklahoma, they will be responsible. The students will be responsible for reaching out to every church in the city, every campus ministry on campus, inviting them to a luncheon that we will have a couple of weeks before the event. And then just kind of sharing the vision and letting the students share their heart and passion, why they want it there, and inviting them to join in this, you know, movement and promote it and get their students there, but then also get non-believers. I have to say this because I don't know if I said it earlier. One of the most impactful things I would say about Unite versus any other student conference is that sometimes we'll have as much as 50% of the students who attend our events have never heard the gospel, do not go to church. They're coming to an event on their college campus in their basketball arena because their friends invited them or because I invited them. I go into sororities and do give personal invitations. And then it's just unbelievable. So then they come to our events because we're connected to local ministries. They'll get saved, baptized, and then through a process that we have with connecting them, they will identify a church that they're interested in, get in, connected to their church and community. And it's just beyond
that. So you don't leave them hanging. They don't become a Christian and get baptized and then they don't know what to do. I love that you help them. If they choose, if they will, you help them to get connected after the event. And I have just a couple more questions. The time goes by way too fast.
Yeah.
How long does it like generally take from the time somebody reaches out till they actually get the event at their university?
That varies just because, just say the students at FSU, well, let's use another example. Clemson was the first university to reach out to us along with FSU right after Auburn. We have not been able to get into Clemson's basketball arena. We have not gone there. It's been almost 2 years. So it just depends. Typically, as quickly as we can form a student team of leaders and then get the venue secured, it takes off from there. So, I mean, even if we had a school or a student team contact us today, so we just added Cincinnati. They put a student team together and we reached out to their venue, their basketball arena, and they were like, we're all in, let's go, sign the contract. And so that one moved very fast. So I think it's dependent on the venue and then getting the student leaders.
That's encouraging to people that are listening though. It's not that you have to know somebody that knows somebody. You're just going to, you know, basically write in and say what you think this event, this movement could do for their university. So I think that's so wonderful. So, oh goodness, as we're winding down, like I mentioned, it goes by so fast. I wanted to ask you a question at the end because I sense your passion. I know how passionate you are about this generation, but what is one thing that you hope this generation will hold on to? If you could just tell the ones listening, and there will be many, many that are in this age group you're talking about, or if not, they've got grandchildren like me that are, you know, Gen Z. I have three Gen Z grandkids. What would you say to them? What's one thing you want them to hold on to?
One thing I would say to them is you are created on purpose for a purpose. There is a reason you are here. And the only way you're ever going to know that and discover that is by knowing your identity. And your identity is found in Christ, not in anything else. And so, you know, after mentoring college students and leading a college girl small group, the one thing I found out one day when I sat at the table, I said, what is your greatest fear? I thought their answers would be very different. All of their answers were the same, that I will miss my purpose. And so I think all of us at all ages want to know our purpose, but especially this generation, like because they're finishing high school, going through college, and they're like, what do I do? The decision I make today is going to affect the rest of my life. And I'll tell them a lot of times, you know, you think you're going to miss God, but he's a mighty big target. And you will find that, but you're not going to find it by searching in everything except him. So it's in his word. It's in your prayer time. It's in the right community. It's in the right leadership. It's in being connected that you're going to identify who you are and then what you are here for. And so that would be my thing. And then I'll say this to the adults who are listening, the moms, any dads that may be listening, is do your job in being spiritual mentors to students outside of your own children. You have no idea. And just like the enemy was telling me I wasn't qualified for what's coming, sometimes we'll say, well, I'm not qualified. They're not going to like me. They want you. I can promise you. And they need you. And even if it's just a listening ear, if it's a meal, if you sit down and provide them a meal and listen to them, because they have so much to share and they can't always be with their parents, it could be a life change for somebody that has a ripple effect that changes generations. So I'm speaking very strongly right now to some adults and say, do it. Go mentor a college student or a high school student or a college student and be the difference in their life.
That's amazing advice. And that's a great way to wrap up the podcast. And I love when a guest comes on, I feel like you have every guest has their own special anointing for what they're walking in with God. And I feel like the prayer that you can pray over people that will listen the day it drops, but also listen for months to come. It pops up on their feed and they don't know why they're all of a sudden tuning into this podcast. But if you could, I feel strongly to pray over those that might be listening that are searching for that calling, or they believe God's calling them to do more, or they're seeking, you know, God, what do you want from me? And I love what you just, you know, said, but they're created. They have something creative for. And I believe a prayer of blessing in that avenue with that in mind could be so powerful to help close this out today, if you wouldn't mind doing that.
Great. That's perfect. God, we just come before you right now. And first of all, thank you, because we cannot thank you enough for the amazing things that you have done. It is beyond us. God, we realize that nothing is impossible with you. All things are possible with you. We have seen it. And so, God, we just thank you over and over again. We thank you. And God, I just lift up a prayer right now for all generations.
Yes.
But specifically for Gen Z. We ask you, God, to continue to cover them, continue to draw them, continue to go before us in all that we do in leading them, God. But mainly we pray for salvation, freedom, and connection. And God, that they would find godly community and influence, that you would provide mentors for students all over this nation that say, I believe in you. I see you. And you are loved and you have a purpose. And God, I pray that this generation would recognize that they were put here for a reason. And God, they will only discover that through you. But God, we just ask you right now to do unprecedented things, more than we've seen before, for what's to come. I thank you for Kay. I thank you for her heart. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for the people who will listen to it and the difference that it will make. And God, we just thank you again for all that you've done. Would you bless every single person who is listening today and give them the desires of their heart and remind them they can make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for taking your time and pouring in, not just sitting in an interview, but taking the time to pour into people that are searching and looking. And I just believe, I believe in that there's a God moment every day for us. And I feel like my kids meeting you at an event in, you know, Southern California was because I needed to meet you and what might be next for our beautiful state and city through a ministry that you lead. I feel like it's a God connection and I'm really excited about it. So thank you. Thank you for the encouragement, everything you said. I've loved every minute of it. Thank you for joining me. God. Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.